So Psalm 27, verse 1 through 10. And then I was going to say, as you're turning there, but I found my other verse, so it's all messed up. But this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Boy, spoken like true Super Bowl heroes here that are saving their energy for the game. You get more excited on the game. Let's try that again. Pretend it's a Super Bowl you're watching, and then this is what counts today, right? Here with the Lord. Not the Super Bowl. Here with the Lord. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad.
All right, your team won. Great job. I love it. I love it. Psalm 27, verse 1 through 10. And it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and they fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. What powerful verses, both of what David, the psalmist, is facing, but also where his hope is and where his focus is. It says, God, the Lord, is a light in a dark place. It also says, the Lord is my strength when I am weak. By the way, when we rely strictly on ourselves, that's a point of weakness, even when we think it's strength. I'm relying on myself. It's a different type when you're talking religion or our relationship with God the Father. That's when we're weakest, when we try and rely on ourselves and not Him. But listen to this. When enemies are camping against you or encamping around me, your heart will not fear. When war rises up against me, I will be confident. Anybody feel they have wars rising up against them? Anybody feel like the enemy is encamping all around them? Lord, I know I've got neighbors. Can you go and camp around them maybe? I guess we're not praying for our enemies sometimes or our neighbors. If we say, Lord, take your encampment elsewhere or their encampment elsewhere. But it says, even when those things come up against us, and the Lord's going to take care of us. We will not have fear in our heart. In the midst of wars around us and against us, that's when we move through it confidently. I don't have to face this alone. And in my own strength, the Lord is walking with me. When they walked through the fiery furnace, they didn't fear that. The Lord is walking through here with us. Man, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to be near His presence constantly, David is telling them. David has made mistakes. David has enemies. But he says, now, Lord, I want to be in your presence. I want to be near you. I want to be in your presence. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. But listen to this. Man, I'm going to offer sacrifices. I'm going to offer sacrifices. But what does he say? He says, sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. When was the last time you brought a sacrifice of joy into his tabernacle? Maybe your sacrifice of joy was simply your praise. Maybe it was your gifting, whatever. But then it says, I will sing praises. But it doesn't just say, it says, I will sing praises. Yes, I will sing praises. Other versions sing praises to the Lord. Other versions say, I will shout praises to the Lord. I will get excited about singing praises about Him and to Him and for Him. And then in the end, it simply says, the Lord will provide. And when all others forsake us, He will not forsake us. That's why I love that last song we sang. Beautiful ending on that as well. Bring in the On This Day. David faced trouble. He was able to go to the Lord and tell Him, Lord, You will be my strength and my weakness. You are a light in my darkness. And when all these things come against me, I can rely on You. You will give me boldness. You will give me strength. You will give me confidence to face these things. His protection, His escape, His focus. But when you boil it down, what was it? It was His worship. It was His worship to the Lord, day in and day out. He didn't say, Lord, when I'm busy running from the enemy, hiding from the wars that are around me and the enemy, He's chasing me, I'll see if I can find time for You. He said, Lord, I'm coming to You. I'm coming to You first. I'm coming to You in the middle of it. When it's all said and done, I'm coming to You again with praise. It was worship. David couldn't try and fit that in. He would have failed miserably in that. His number one priority was in worship. To seek the Lord. To obey the Lord. To be with the Lord. To offer sacrifices to Him. And to sing praises to Him. David's focus through everything he was going through was worship to the Lord. Now turn over to Mark chapter 9. And all this is just talking about our holy living. More examples and ways that we can live a holy life. One that is set apart from a normal life of those that may try and fit in God, those that may not know God. But we're going to look at what that is to have some characteristics of a holy life. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 33. And I'm going to give you six characteristics of holy living through these verses that we'll read. And I'm going to read them first, read the verses, and we're going through Mark chapter 10, verse 12. So it's a little bit, but it'll go quickly, and it's all worth it. Amen? All worth it. Then he came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed amongst yourselves on the road? I can't help but stop and give a little commentary every now and then. Already the disciples disputing, right? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves which one of them would be the greatest. Sounds like a Super Bowl message. It's not, but which one will be the greatest? And he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and he set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives this one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who also sent me. Now John answered him, saying, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. Let me rephrase that. I broke that up a little funky. We saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. We forbade them because he does not follow us. But Jesus says, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, listen carefully, church. This is important as we go through our day in and day out life, and how we talk to others and how we treat others. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, you've got a job to watch out for the stumbling blocks in their way. He says it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. For if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands, to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Hang on, he says it one more time. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. For it is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into the hellfire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Whatever's causing you to sin, cut it out. Cut it out of your life, for it's better to go into the kingdom of heaven that way than to enter into hell having everything perfectly well. Verse 49, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? He says, have salt in yourselves and have peace. He says, have peace with one another. Don't just have peace. Have peace with one another. Chapter 10, verse 1, he goes on. He says, then he arose from there, and he came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan, and multitudes gathered to him again, and he as he was accustomed. And he taught them again. Now the Pharisees came, and they asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Pharisees were great at testing Jesus, poking Jesus. Hey, can you heal on the Sabbath? Uh-oh. Is it okay? They ask him, trying to test him, for a man to divorce his wife. And Jesus answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? He said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So when they are no longer two, but one flesh, therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. In the house, his disciples also asked him again about the same matter. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Division from the beginning of that scripture that we read, starting in chapter 9. Division started early on. Which one of us is going to be greatest? Competition started early on. Hey, how are we going to do this stuff? We have to be careful when we look at other Christian ministries or other denominations or other Christian churches. We have to be careful when we try and compete against them. So, six characteristics of holy living in those scriptures talk about humility being number one. Humility. Jesus said, there's no need to compete to be number one. If you are going to compete in anything, he said, competition is tempting. But today, this afternoon, it's going to be tempting. But he says, if you're going to compete for anything, do it not to be number one, but to be last. He who is first shall be last. He who is last shall be first. Envy and rivalries in the Christian body become very dangerous. Very dangerous to the church. Jesus said in verse 35 again, we should struggle to be last, not first. For he who is first will be servant of all, and he shall be last. Number two, love. Number two, love. This is a powerful thing when Jesus talks about this. He says, love all. Welcome all. Pray for all. What about the little ones, Lord? Oh, that's where it started with him. Oh, don't bother Jesus. Don't deny the little ones to come to me. Love even those that can't do anything for us. What do I mean by that? My granddaughter Aurora, she's 6 months old today, by the way. What is she going to do for me other than bring me great joy and pleasure? But she can't physically do anything for me. We have to love even the little ones. That's what Jesus is saying. Even the little ones that we can't benefit from. Love them. Welcome them. Don't deny them. When you do this, when you welcome all, when you love all, you are welcoming Jesus and you are loving Jesus through them. Number three, tolerance. This one's a little tricky when you go through there trying to find it out. But it is tolerance. Lord, these people aren't of us, so we told them to stop. So tolerance, what does that mean? Jesus said, hey, don't dismiss others. Just because they're not of us doesn't mean they're against us. Could you imagine if there was just this church in the world and not the others that we compete with? Or that we say, oh, they're not part of us. They don't believe, you know. How many churches do you see? The true church of Jesus Christ. The real church of, you know, those type of names. And I thought, oof. Man, I guess they're the only ones that have it right. We need the competitors that do things differently than we do. Why? Because they offer things that we don't. They teach things that we may not. They have different gifts there that we may not have here. I'm not looking for y'all to go find those churches and say, I'm missing something here. Give Pastor Eric and I, if you're missing something here, and say, hey, what about? But I'm saying tolerance is a part of holy living. Now hang on, guys. Number four is going to hit us when we talk about tolerance. Number four, discipline. Whew. Often we tolerate sin in our own lives. But we are very intolerant towards sin in other people's lives. I got a note that I wrote myself that said this could be very important. And I wrote it and it says, repeat it. Because it really got to me when I was studying, when I was reading. We tolerate sin in our own lives, but we're very intolerant towards sin in other people's lives. I thought, oh man. Lord, make me whatever you want me to be. You want me to be tolerant of that? Of this? Of them? Of those? Of that? Lord, make me tolerant. Make me disciplined in those areas of my life. You know, sin is often what leads to division. Sin in relationship leads to division in relationships. Sin in homes leads to division in the home. Sin in the church leads to division in the church. That dang sin. It leads to division. We have to get a hold of it. You know, Jesus uses the example of sin in our lives. He says, man, if it's your hands, cut them off. Our hands, what is that? What we do. Hey, if it's your feet, cut them off. What is the feet? It's where we go. Your eyes, pluck them out. What are your eyes? It's what we look at, what we see. That's why a couple weeks ago the message started out by saying, Lord, make a pathway for me. Holy living calls for us to have this radical and uncompromised discipline that is often hard to get to. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 7:13-14, we've read it several times over the last couple weeks, wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to what? Destruction. It's wide. Both the gate and the path are wide. It says, and there are many who get through it and go in by it. Many. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There's few that find it because that gate is so narrow, it's hard for us to have the patience sometimes to make our way through it. But also that second part of that says, it's difficult. Could you imagine? Enter here. Difficult life ahead. Lord, is there another way that I could go? And it tells us difficult is a way. But it says it is the way that leads to life. We'll go through difficulties. Tolerance was number four. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate, and the difficult is the path which leads to life. If you find it. Number five, peace. And this is pretty simple. There are several verses, and I'm, again, just going through this section. Several verses, this one right here. Mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, 2 Timothy 1:1-3. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Hebrews 12:13-15. There are scriptures about peace all through the Bible. And why do so many Christians struggle to have peace when trouble is going on around them? But Jesus tells them in verse 49 and 50, everyone will be seasoned with fire and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? And he tells the disciples, he says, have salt in yourself. And then he tells them, quit disputing amongst yourselves, disciples. Have peace. As I said before, not just have peace, but have peace with one another. So many scriptures in the Bible tell us to have peace. Jesus came. He is the Prince of Peace. Lord, I struggle finding peace in my life. Why? Have peace with one another. By the way, you start having that by loving one another. And then when you love one another, you start to forgive one another. You start to accept one another for the differences. Now, I'm not talking about going against godly things. I'm talking about just people that are different. But have peace with one another. Get along with one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. Accept and tolerate one another. Number six, faithfulness. And in this, Jesus talks about faithfulness through the marriage. He says Moses granted permission of divorce as a concession, but not as a command. God intends for a marriage to be lifelong. And he said, then the two shall become one. You are so tightly knit with the other that you become one. One flesh. And he wants our relationship with him to be the same. Uniqueness. That we become one with God. One with the Father. That we spend so much time with him. We recognize him. We understand him. We listen to him. We talk to him. God desires for us to be faithful to one another. He desires us to be faithful to our mates, but he desires us to be faithful to him. Like I said, when mother and father forsake you, he says, I will never forsake you. Go have a good Super Bowl. No, I'm just kidding. What's the follow-up to that? I can't just say, do those things and good luck, see you later. I mean, I can, but it's no good if I don't challenge you. It's up to you what you do with the challenge, but my challenge is this. For the rest of this month and next month, so it's probably going up. Oh, Lord, Adam, that's 47 days or 40, you know, whatever. Yeah, I don't care what it is. For the rest of this month, the rest of next month, endeavor to put God first in your life. Oh, Adam, that's some radical changes. Didn't say it wasn't. Hang on, let's see. Let me go back here. Wide is the gate, broad is the path that leads to destruction. Many who find it, narrow is the gate, difficult is the way. Difficult is the way. Difficult sometimes through radical changes in your life. That is the way. It wasn't easy. The family wasn't on board. The spouse wasn't on board. The children weren't. The parents weren't. My friends weren't. My co-workers weren't on board. So I just gave up. Too much difficulty on my way to finding life. Put God first. Don't just sprinkle them in when you got a few left over. Oh, I'm going to bed. I'm emptying my pockets. I'm putting this stuff up. Okay. Oh, there's my little Jesus. I'm sorry. Lord, give me a good night's rest. Thank you. Not much effort in those kind of prayers. Or, oh, wake up. Oh, there's Jesus. Lord, give me a great day. Thank you. Amen. Not much effort behind those things. Not much intentional thinking or acting behind those. And then, of course, here's my next challenge. Show up to service. Be here. Worship and praise him when you're here. That's two separate ones. Be here. And then when you're here, worship and praise him when you're here. Worship and praise him. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And then give sacrificially. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle for his provisions in your life. What's that sacrificial giving? It could be money. It could be time. It could be talent. effort? I don't know what that looks like to you. You have to pray to God about that. But it says, give sacrificially as David did. Then when the enemy encamps you, and let me tell you, a lot of times what the enemy does is say, uh-oh, they're struggling. Let's move in. Let's go and camp around their house. Let's go and camp around their vehicle, around their work, around their family. I'm going to a family gathering today to celebrate birthdays. I pray that the Lord is in that place and the enemy is not. But man, the enemy loves to encamp around family business, doesn't he? Whew. And church business sometimes. I don't feel it here. I'm just saying that the enemy finds those times. But when he encamps around us and war rises up against us, and our head will be above, we will not have fear in our hearts. We will have peace. And we will walk with confidence that he will deliver us. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your message. We thank you for the message of David the psalmist. When he praised you, Lord, we thank you for the message out of Mark that gave us examples for holy living. Lord, that told us characteristics that we could have and should have to live a life of holiness. Lord, the things that we can follow. God, help us to focus on you in these upcoming days and weeks. Help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with to reflect your light. In Jesus' name, amen.